We were talking about how sunny it's going to be this week and for several days ahead. Well, the sun is the topic of this first segment on today's exchange, or more accurately, the use of the sun to create electric power. Today's guest knows a thing or two about solar installations and knows a bit about a program that can give a financial boost to some people considering putting in solar electric systems. Sean Schreiner is the company manager at True South Solar, based in the Rogue Valley, and he's our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
So how long has True South been in business?
We've been in business since 2010. I should do a little correction. Eric Hansen's my general manager. I'm project manager.
Yeah, okay, we'll make sure we put that in front of manager. So, all right, Eric Hansen is the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
So what kinds of installations does True South do? Is it strictly solar electric, or is it all sorts of solar things?
It is strictly solar electric. We are solar electricity specialists. We're happy to answer questions about solar hot water as far as, you know, is your house a good resource? But we pass those along to our friends in the business who are plumbers and do that hot water work.
How much over time has solar electric installations changed? I mean, I've been hearing about these things since I was in elementary school, I think. So they've been around for many decades, but I can imagine that with people continually working on the technology, it's probably improved greatly in efficiency and utility.
That's exactly right. Solar's been around for a long time. But since the advent of grid-tied solar electric, let me back up a little bit. A lot of folks just operate under the assumption that solar means batteries. Not so. So for the last 8 or 10 years, we've had grid-direct solar electric systems. No batteries. We can offset electric bills without involving a bunch of storage. We use the grid as our storage. And since that has happened, solar has just exploded. And as we've scaled up, as manufacturing has scaled up, the price of solar has come down amazingly, and efficiencies have gone up, which is really good news.
So when you say it stores on the grid, so basically your solar installation is wired into the grid, and you're giving electricity back to it?
That's right. So what that allows us to do is design a system for your year-round consumption. Whereas if we were designing for off-grid folks, we have to design for a worst-case scenario, like, you know, the bad winters. But as a grid-tied job, we can design for how much power do you use in a year? How much would you like to offset with solar? And if we generate, you know, more than you use in the summer, we can carry that credit forward. We spin the meter backwards and generate a credit, which gets noted on your bill, and you can use that the next month or the following month or however that works out.
Spin the meter backwards it's become a colloquialism, I guess, mm-hmm. because the fact is that you don't usually have the spinning wheel on the electric meters anymore.
Well, it's true.
But that used to happen, I understand.
It's true. We love those old cyclonic meters where you can actually physically see the dial turn around and go backwards. But these days, the utility, whether it's Pacific Power or the City of Ashland or your local utility, they'll install a bidirectional digital meter. So we're not literally spinning it anymore, unfortunately, but those were fun.
No doubt. So I'm curious to know how power managers, though, for the people who run the power companies, how they manage what they need to deliver to the grid in the way of power, you know, making guesses about demand, but also having sources like these put more power back into the grid.
Right, right. And that will become more of a question as we get serious saturation. Right now, only in markets like Hawaii are we seeing issues like that become something that grid managers really have to wrestle with. Right now, at you know something less than 2% penetration in the market, it's not an issue. But it is something that grid managers are looking at really closely.
You're a really good guest. I was just writing the word penetration as you said it. I was going to ask you what the market penetration is. So basically, 2% of homes have solar electric installations.
I wish it's something far less than that. I'm not exactly sure where we are, and it depends on the market, of course.
Okay, is there an optimum installation setup? I mean, it seems like you could go with something that's fairly small, maybe you know takes a few bucks off your power bill, that sort of thing, or you could have something that actually does, in fact, on the best days, power your entire home. But I'm thinking there's probably some equilibrium point at which you've reached. A crossing point between the economics of lowering your power bill and the economics of making this installation?
Well, it's a really interesting question, Jeffrey, because you know, in the past, we used to really design systems based around what was known as the sweet spot, and that was dictated by incentives. And so wherever the incentives floated, that's how we designed systems. And today, with the price of solar, with those incentives having done their job and created this market, so that manufacturing has scaled up, the price of solar has come down to a point where we can really talk about larger systems, and then the benefit of solar is primarily the power instead of just these free incentives. which is really gratifying to us. Instead of saying, oh, well, you know, we'll design a system this way so you'll take advantage of all the money that's on the table, we can design larger systems, really make a significant dent, and their benefit is the power.
What, at a minimum, are you likely to spend if you're going to make an installation residential? Like, let's use that as the benchmark, the
sure.
residential installation.
We've designed sort of what we call kind of feel-good systems, very, very small, that have not what you would call a great payback. Talking about it in good financial terms, we're looking at maybe a 3-kilowatt system. Gross system costs, you know, something in the $13,000 range, something of that nature. After tax credits and incentives, you know, something like $6,000-$7,000, something like that.
All right. So, and what are some of the incentives that are in there? I mean, if you have tax credits, it sounds like, but what other avenues are there?
Well,
and then this is residential.
Residentially, we still have a 30% tax credit from the federal government. That's 30% of the cost of the system as a tax credit, and we have up to $6,000 tax credit from the state of Oregon. That's based on how many watts you install. So it's $1.90 per installed watt. And this all gets sort of convoluted and into the weeds a little bit. That's why for us, sales is such an educational process. You know, we sit down with folks and walk them through this. But our favorite one is the Energy Trust of Oregon. A lot of people have heard of them. Their refrigerator programs have been around for a long, long time. A lot of people have taken advantage of that and heard of them. They will give us 75 cents per watt cash incentive.
So altogether, you can, as you mentioned, with a fairly typical installation, about 3 kilowatts, you can mm-hmm. pretty much cut the installation cost in half.
At least in half. That's correct.
Our guest is Sean Schreiner. He's the project manager at True South Solar, based in the Rogue Valley. We're talking about the electrical installations, solar electrical installations, and we're about to get to a program that can help some people make those installations in addition to the incentives you just heard about. We do have a phone number available to you today. It does work. We got some frustrated phone calls on our office lines yesterday from people who couldn't get through. We are at 541-552-6782. That's the only number available just for the exchange. The other ones are tied up with our fund drive, 541-552-6782. If you get a busy signal, please call back or send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. What's the lifespan of a solar system these days? I mean, at what point do you begin to notice a real reduction in efficiency or delivery and think about starting to replace panels?
Great, great question. The warranty on these panels is 25 years, and that's just the warranty life, you know, engineered for 40 or more. Solar panels are incredibly robust. There's no moving parts to a solar panel.
And so what do they do? I've always wondered about this.
It's really magic, Jeffrey. It really is. You know, it passes through the silicon wafer, which is doped with chemicals, which, you know, converts that photon moving through it into electricity. The thing is covered in small electric conducting material, which passes that electricity from one cell to the other, building voltage. We pass that voltage from one panel to the next, building still more power until it becomes really usable power in your house.
Is there any environmental impact from the operation of solar panels or from their construction? I mean, if they have chemicals that
sure.
the doping up you referred to, it probably has some issues with storage and containment.
Sure. I think the industry has done an excellent job on the manufacturing side of keeping it as clean as possible. There, as in any manufacturing process, of course, there's an environmental impact. But I think as a whole, we've done a really excellent job. As far as energy in, energy out, a lot of people have looked at, like with ethanol and the like, a solar panel will create enough energy to essentially create itself in 2 years. So the energy in, energy out is really excellent.
Let us take a phone call. We have Scott in Talent on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Schreiner from True South Solar.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Oh, okay, thanks. I was thinking, because I've been thinking about solar also, we have a perfect roof for it. But my question is, if you go back like 100 years and you wanted, let's say, electricity or indoor plumbing, and you might have had to retrofit your house and it would be very expensive. So it seems to me that we're at the point now where for solar you have to kind of retrofit your house and some of your wiring. And so my question is, for new house construction, if you have an appropriate roof direction, et cetera. And all of a lot of the work was built in from the beginning. You know, let's say there were mounting brackets, standard size brackets on the roof already, and you just pulled up a shingle, and there was a plug there ready to accept the panel, and there was wiring throughout the house. All that was in place. Would that save a lot of money to put in solar?
What that does, it doesn't save a lot of money. It would save on the order of a few hundred dollars. But what it does, what it allows us to do is do a really clean installation. So, you know, vast majority of what we do is retrofit, like you mentioned. We do some new construction, and that just allows us to hide those pipes. All our wiring is by code required to be in conduit. So we're not running wires all over the place, but we're running pipe all over the place. But, you know, we're very discreet in how we do that on a retrofit job. We've gotten really, really good at it. But we'd love a chance to come into your new construction and put those pipes in those wall cavities just like the rest of your wiring.
Scott, thanks for the call. You can take other calls at 541-552-6782 or emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So we've been hearing about a program that can help, looks like small businesses, install solar electric installations. It's the REAP program.
That's right. It's a USDA renewable energy development grant. It's really terrific. So if you have a small business or are an ag operation outside of a metropolitan statistical area, you're eligible for this grant. And actually, just recently, we learned that an ag operation is going to be eligible regardless whether it's in or out of a metropolitan statistical area, which is a kind of a mouthful.
Less than it used to be. It used to be standard metropolitan statistical area. So, yeah, we took an S off there.
But there are maps in the USDA interactive maps to find out if your address is eligible. But I can tell you here in the Rogue Valley that all of Josephine County is eligible. So all of Grants Pass, all of those businesses in the city of Grants Pass are eligible. And you don't have to go very far outside of town here in the Medford-Ashland area to be eligible as well.
So the concept of rural area is somewhat broadly defined?
A little bit, I guess.
Right. So what does the REAP program do then? I mean, what kinds of installations is it targeting, and what are the kinds of businesses that are most likely to make use of it?
Well, we at True South have been really trying to get the word out to wineries and farms. We're so rich in wineries and farms here in our end of the world, so we've really been targeting those. But you know, a golf course, a nursery, you know, you name it. Any business out there is eligible. It doesn't really matter what the business is doing. And USD REAP grant is really simple in its benefit. It's 25% of the cost of the system is covered. So you couple that with a 30% tax credit from the federal government and a really generous cash incentive from the Energy Trust of Oregon. And we're seeing these systems pay for themselves, simple payback in 5-6 years.
Which is far ahead of the usual curve, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
So 25% of the cost covered by REAP, and then you still are available for the tax credits and the Energy Trust of Oregon and the money from the state as well.
As a business, a lot of people have heard of the Business Energy Tax Credit. That sort of went away a couple of years ago.
The infamous Betsy.
The infamous Betsy. And commercial solar really took a hit when that went away, and it sort of flatlined. And so what we're really trying to get the word out that the commercial solar is alive and well. Energy Trust has increased their incentive for businesses. And if you're able to couple that with a REAP grant, it's really an amazing investment.
And I see it looks like, is it not next week, but the week after you have some workshop coming up to help people figure out how to use the REAP grants?
That's right. It is a grant, and that's a bit scary to folks. It's a bit scary to us. I think it's about a 160-page application in their simple form. But there are folks out there who help write these grants. We work really tightly with Elizabeth McNanny from Resource Consultants, and we're bringing her down to educate folks on April 22nd at the OSU Extension office there on Hanley Road in Central Point. Okay. It's from 3:30 to 5.
All right. We'll make sure we get a reference to this up on our Facebook page. Let's take a final call here from Cynthia in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Schreiner from True South Solar.
Yeah, just a quick question on that program you're discussing. Would rental property be considered one of those businesses that would qualify?
Oh, interesting sidebar there. Thanks for that, Cynthia.
You know, that is an interesting angle, and it's been on my plate to find the answer to that question, and I have to admit that I haven't done it yet. I would love to see you at our seminar so that Elizabeth can answer that one for you.
Okay, so all right, so we'll make sure we get the information about the seminar up. It's at the OSU Extension office in Medford on Hanley Road. Well, it's actually Central Point. Tuesday, April 22nd, 3:30 to 5, and you'll be there, and I guess other people from True South Solar will be there?
That's correct.
All right, Sean Schreiner, the project manager from True South Solar, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey.